Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 657. It's the 7th of December, 2016. On the podcast today, I have Michael Trabbia, Managing Director of Boss Global Holdings, ticker BOS, and Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, talking about tertiary minerals and advanced oncotherapy.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Michael Trabbia, Managing Director of Boss Global Holdings. That's BOS ticker. Michael, thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, I've noticed you've appeared in our top five most followed lists on Vox quite a few times over the last week or so. So there's some interest, you know, gaining here in the stock. And you are capturing the imaginations of shareholders. So first and foremost, Michael, I mean, I don't know much about the company myself, but for people like me in my boat, tell us exactly, you know, all about Boss and your journey of life on AIM.
Yeah, no, thanks for the opportunity. So we started out as a sales consulting company. Global was always in our brand. Global was always our ambition. What we found is we needed to be extremely efficient in everything we're doing to, one, attract the right people, two, attract clients, and importantly, keep the company sustaining itself, especially when we're trying to expand overseas. So, and England was always in our top two markets in the world, so we invested heavily. What we did do, though, is as we refined our processes, our clients got more exposed to them. Mm-hmm. And as they got more exposed, they understood just why Boss people were so efficient. So we always wanted to turn them into software. And it's been a long journey, you know, world's oldest startup probably, with the world's oldest startup team. But right now, you need depth, capability, and experience. And going public, we needed to have a face of, this is not new for us. We've been doing this for a long time. We know what we're on about. We know where the issues are in the workplace. And we wanted to use tested processes that would drive efficiency, all based on the enormous efficiency gains we've got over the last 16 years. So going public was a brave one pre-revenue, but to us, it was a natural path for us. We are coming to market with products. We're going to revenue from December. We're focused on the bottom line. And importantly, our products will stand up, but the journey for our clients is going to be a very, very long one, especially as we roll products out and build on our revenue on that basis.
Okay, so let me get in my head. So essentially your products are the software products that enhance productivity in the workplace. Is that the case?
Yeah, that's an interesting descriptor, because a lot of people do talk about productivity.
Yeah.
What we talk about is efficiency.
Okay.
So if we could be efficient in the workplace, because efficiency, you actually can measure it. If you can measure something, do it.
Yeah.
Productivity is an outcome of efficiency. Some of the biggest software companies in the world, of which we aim to certainly be up there with them over the next 5 years, mm-hmm. our message is efficiency.
Yeah.
You can be efficient with Boss. Then you can see whether you are productive or not. But global software companies keep talking about productivity.
Mm-hmm.
So while they're over in that space, we're focused in the workplace, working with everyday workers to help them be more efficient so that organizations can say, yes, our investment with Boss did make us productive.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I work with a guy, and it's a well-known saying, but he said it's not how hard you work, it's how smart you work, you know, and it's what you get at the end there. And when I first heard it, I thought, yeah, I've heard that before. But then he used to repeat it quite often, and it does make sense. It's the efficiency, isn't it? It's not how much you're doing, you know, it's what you're doing, you know, and so that's the way forward. Now, on your website, you've got something called PC3, and it's you know, it revolves around people, putting people first. What is all that about? What does PC3 mean?
Yeah, good question. And it's definitely our guiding light. The first thing I wrote in 2000 in starting Boss Global was a value system. Mm-hmm. And all my experiences and all the people I've worked with, when you put people first, the results are astounding. And it's not just about financial results. Mm. It's also about life and quality. So PC3, in priority order, Boss puts people first, and that does include our shareholders.
Yeah.
The second most important thing to us is the company. The third is the clients to whom we serve globally. And the fourth is the community in which we work within. There has to be a priority there. With our people, if we can attract the best people at the most efficient cost, and those people feel like they're valued, their time is valued, and they're remunerated on outcomes, then our company can sustain ups and downs. And we know all companies have ups and downs. Mm-hmm. We want to smooth that out over generations to come as Boss Global. Therefore, if we have healthy people in the workplace who are very, very efficient, we as a company are very healthy, both financially, and we're very, very efficient, then clients will gravitate to us before other software companies. And we want clients to ring us up, which is the most efficient way for the financial health of both our company and, most importantly, our people. Lastly, the community is absolutely the heart as well. If we can get the right people operating in Boss efficiently, serving clients efficiently and profitably, we can invest in the community. And yesterday, I had the delight of meeting four entrepreneurs. Would love personally to help them out. And I want to meet you more young people with great ideas. So does my team around the world. So we want to put back. But the first thing we've got to do is a healthy workforce, an efficient workforce.
Yeah.
That is PC3.
Yeah. And it makes sense. You know, when you create a company that attracts people, then it works, you know. Okay, so listen, I've been reading through some of the RNS that you've had out. And sort of tell me why, you know, you and your family there, right, the trust is committed financially, even when your share price doesn't reflect the value you put into the company today. Why are you doing that?
Yeah, well, one, the most important thing is I have used every calculation to test the financial viability of Boss, mm-hmm. past, current and future. In my opinion, I do believe it's undervalued, but that's my opinion only. And importantly, myself and my family trust are in this for the long haul. And the one thing I love is to have annuity-based income for the company, but I want annuity-based income for my family trust. And when I look at all the other public companies, all the other ways of creating income for my family trust, Boss paying a dividend, I want to be the first one at the door to collect it. And I want every shareholder with me standing beside me, not behind me. So when I look into the future and where would be my retirement, where is the dividends going to come from that sustained my life after Boss, to me, it offered the best investment opportunity that I could spot in the world without taking a lot of risk.
Yeah.
And I don't gamble money.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. So as far as products are concerned then, Michael, so where are you at the moment in releasing these products?
Yeah. So middle of December.
Yeah.
Our first of 12 products goes live in terms of, when I say live, for sale. We've obviously already started talking to many companies, and we're currently in 6 countries. So we've got a direct sales engagement to get clients onto our first product. We've got 3 further products released in January 2017. the discussions we're having with clients is about the whole system, not just one product.
Mm-hmm.
And when we release our platform, our Boss 360 Work Patterns platform in May, and that brings us three more products. So all up, that is 1, 4, 7 revenue streams that we want to be kicking off from June 2017.
Right, so exciting times ahead. So at Vox Markets, Michael, we have a system where people hit the follow button, and if they do that, they will receive RNSs straight to the front screen of their mobile phones, their smartphones, whenever you release them. So it brings them close to the story. So in summary, Michael, could you give us three reasons why someone should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets, please?
Yeah, firstly, we're a growth company operating in the globe, in the world. So if you want to follow us and our success globally, which is what we're focused on, there's the first reason. Mm-hmm. Secondly, we will move to reporting sales. And our products serve every size business and every size government in the world. So we would like to think that the investors are seeing growth in our story through sales. The third most important thing is that our team is going to be growing. These are highly capable people with deep value, deep experience in efficiency. And people need to see the commitment, not just of me, but my team and people that will be joining my team as we expand globally. So we are a global growth story building out on sales to ultimately reward shareholders with dividends.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, like you said, you've made a financial commitment as well yourself there. So that's, goes a long way, I think, in shareholders' eyes. And as an investor myself, I always look for management who put their own money in, you know? And so you're certainly doing that. Yeah.
Well, it's more than just putting the money in. Just to close out, from a DJ perspective, some of the market is aware that a part of my ownership is set aside for the people of Boss. Well, DJ is going one step further. DJ is committing to on market purchase £250,000 a year of shares.
Yeah.
On market for the next 5 years, preserved for the people of Boss who give everything up to make this company even greater than what it is. Can't get a bigger commitment than that. And when you put it in the hands of the people, the results are outstanding.
Yeah, marvellous. Michael, it's lovely to chat to you, and no doubt you'll be having some more news out soon, so I look forward to chatting to you again soon.
Thank you very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You all right, Al?
I'm good, thank you, Jess. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm actually in Disneyland Paris at the moment.
Well, it sounds very quiet. I would have thought so. I would have thought, had you been in Disneyland Paris, really, then we'd have had Mickey Mouse on the background and the rest of the Disney clan. But
that's the reason why I've got away from AIM for a while, because I'm sick of Disney, Mickey Mouse and the clan on AIM.
But casinos, Uncle Tom calls it.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, what are you looking at today, Al? What's the stocks you're looking at?
Well, it's been an interesting week for small cap stocks. When we spoke last week, I mentioned tertiary minerals, and and of course that the company has several holdings and projects in fluorspar. And fluorspar, just to remind listeners, is a critical mineral which is used in the production of iron and steel. It's used in the production of glass and has a multitude of applications. Is rated by the European Commission as one of the critical minerals. Now, tertiary has developed as a company, and the group also have some non-core assets too. And on Monday, they announced that they had sold non-core gold assets in Finland to TSX-listed Orion Resources. Now, this is quite significant in that, they've raised £100,000 from the sale of the as an initial consideration, both in shares and cash from Orion. They've also got pre-production royalties and net smelter returns. Based on 100,000 ounces of gold, with gold currently at just under $1,200 an ounce, that's about $2.3 million per 100,000 ounces produced, $2.3 million. Now, of course, from that you've got to take off the some of the production costs and everything else. But nevertheless, it's a pretty substantial amount of money. Now, the Orion as well are no spring chicken. I mean, they are a major producer of gold. They've got projects already in Finland where Tertiary's licenses are based. They've got a $3.1 billion market cap, that's in Canadian dollars, TSX listed, and they are an accomplished gold producer. And I think it's significant in that if they develop these licenses, then Tertiary is very well positioned to earn from the licenses ongoing. But of course, what they've also done, they've divested a couple of their non-core assets to focus on Fluorspar, which was reported on the website Industrial Minerals last week as the prices were starting to firm and we were starting to see some improvements in this area. So all in all, I think it's the share price has moved ahead this week. It moved ahead 7% on Monday, and we'll probably see some further movement this week. But nonetheless, it's a significant announcement from Tertiary after what has been a fairly quiet period. And I think if the Fluorspar market starts to recover, then Tertiary could well exponentially grow as a result of that.
Yeah. Well, I'm just TYM is ticker. Just looking up the chart there. Yeah, because it's still hovering around that support level. It's over 1 pence, which you think, you know. And it's been doing that, like I said, since June, pretty much. So when you see that, when it's bunching up there, it's technically can be a good sign if it sticks to that, you know. So worth keeping an eye on.
Yeah, and I think what's also worth noting too is that Tertiary also raised $500,000 early this year from an institutional investor. They didn't have to go to retail investors for that money. The institutional support was there, and that was that money was raised at a higher level than the share price currently is. So there's a really good floor down here, and I think anyone investing at this level, I think it's the nature of the product that Tertiary mines and produces. It's Fluorspar. It's a defensive project because it's got a multitude of applications, and we're in a good position, I think, now for the company to build and grow on this. And clearly, if Orion are able to develop these licenses, then there's a nice income stream for Tertiary going forward.
Marvellous. All right, are you looking at any other stocks there, Al?
Yes, I am. We've spoken in the past about the proton beam therapy company Advanced Oncotherapy. It was announced the company issued an operational update a week or so ago, and said that the Harley Street premises is progressing. They will be in production of the proton beam therapy machine, the Light System, in 2017. I think the market was a little dismayed by the announcement that the two machines they'd sold through Sanofi to the University of China were now not going ahead. Now, as an aside, they have an agreement with Sanofi to sell machines, and Sanofi is obliged to make sales of these machines going forward. So no doubt there will be some other angle there for them to pursue. But it strikes me that, the share price has come down a long way, and there seems to be, in my opinion, a bit of an overreaction. I know there has been some concern expressed by the amount of money that's been taken by the board in some areas, but let's not forget forget, this is a company that has a unique technology developed by an offshoot company from CERN in Switzerland. It's the market cap is currently worth about one of its machines, and of course that's already going to Harley Street. It has letters of agreement and intent with several other buyers going forward, but more importantly, it's got a pretty heavyweight board of directors and advisors that are connected with the company, and these are leading medical figures and people that have a very high profile in public life in some cases. And you know, it just strikes me that whilst some of the concerns that have been expressed are maybe understandable, there's been a massive overreaction here. And these advisors, you know, Michael Bradfield, Tim Liebes, Professor Chris Nutting, Dr. Enrico Vanni, who bought shares last week, these people are still involved with the company and they're on the board. And they're not going to be part of a company that's that won't do what it says it will do in the future. And I just think investors need to take stock of that. And it's also obviously in a highly emotive area for all of us, in that it's producing a unique machine to treat cancer using radiotherapy or proton beam therapy as a means of doing it, which is a far more finely targeted form of treatment. So yeah, sure, read everything that's out there, but take into account the nature of the board, the fact that the company is worth currently just one of its machines, and the fact that this company is going to sell an awful lot of machines going forward.
Yeah, but the cancellation, I mean, that's obviously why people are concerned, isn't it? The cancellation of these machines. And sales-wise, what have they done? I mean, apart from those now, what sales do they have in the pipe? You mentioned the letters of intent. You know, are these sales going ahead? I think that's what's worrying people, isn't it? They're now worried about other, you know, letters of intent or whatever. Is there going to be any, you know, permanent or, you know, definite sales?
Well, yeah, sales have been made. I mean, I'm going back 2 years ago, and I think there were letters of agreement. And this wasn't with Sanofi. It was that there were letters of agreement with other buyers going. And this goes back. I think I'll need to run back through the RNS to look at these specific buyers that were mentioned in the RNSs, but the fact is that the machines are being sold. The development program is nearly complete for the company, and the Harley Street premises is going to be the flagship premises and environment to both use the machine for treatment and also to demonstrate to buyers going forward. So, I understand the concerns, but I think there's been a massive overreaction by the market, and I think investors need to look back at this and go back through the RNSs, do your own research, but also go to the website avoplc.com, look at the board, look at the people that are involved, and it should tell you what you need to know.
So they say they still get these milestone payments, don't they, from these from Sanofi for these two machines?
Yeah. Yes, they do. They do. They're getting the milestone payments because they have the agreement with Sanofi to actually sell that Sanofi will sell the machines, and clearly just going back, I mean, they've got the agreement with Thales, which is a massive industrial body. They've got the agreement with several major electronic giants to develop elements of the machine, and there's a general agreement that this is the most advanced machine out there in the marketplace, and will be the benchmark going forward.
And I think the
thing is, if the machine wasn't delivering, it wasn't achieving everything it should achieve in the tests at the various milestones, we'd have heard about it. And also, a lot of the directors on the board would have quietly stepped to one side, and that's not the case. You know, so you've got to look at everyone being involved, the reasons they're involved, and also if they start stepping away from the company, then yes, that's probably a sign to be concerned. I always remember years and years ago there was a company called Energys. You might remember this, just, but this is going back to the early noughties, and the CEO was a guy called Mike Grabina, and Mike was. He was a great CEO, and every time he put a piece of news out, he put his name to it, and he was just driving that company forward. He stepped to one side, and the company literally fell apart. That was a salutary lesson, I think. You know, if people do step to one side, then you've got to take a look at where the company is and what the implications are. And you know, we've also mentioned Andlas in the past, and you know, that's one of the reasons I'm still involved with Andlas, because there's a high profile board involved there too, and some big industry hitters that have put their name to everything, and they are intimately involved and driving the company forward because they believe in the project. It's the same with Advanced Oncotherapy. You know, you've got a great board there. You've got some great people involved that believe in what AVO are doing, believe it's the most advanced proton beam therapy treatment system out there that will come to market next year, and they're there for the long term. So,
Do we know? I'm trying to find out. How much the milestone payments are, and have they received them yet? Do we know anything about that or not? I can't find anything on them. I'm trying to look through their interims and full year, and I can't see any revenue coming in there, so I have no idea whether they've got them or when they had them or if they're going to get them and how much they are. Any idea?
I've not got those in front of me, but what I will do just is I will look those up, and I'll have all that data for you next time we speak, so we can go through that in detail, and we can look at those interim payments as and when they arrived, if they have arrived, and then we can conduct a more detailed overview there. But
I don't think the technology is in question here, is it? It talks. I mean, we spoke about this. It seems to be the machines, you know, smaller and they're more accurate, they're less invasive than what's currently out there, but it's, you know, you just want to see some evidence of sales, and I think obviously, like I said, at the moment, like these were over a quid at one point, weren't they? No, they're just below 50 pence a share, so you know.
Well, that's it. That's the thing. They're, as we speak, they're just below 50p, but I think you mentioned the size of the machine. I mean, I think there is a diagram somewhere on the website that shows the size of the machine. It's something like the housing facilities are something like it's the equivalent to a London bus compared to a football pitch, or similar, or maybe a tennis court. But it's certainly a lot smaller. The costs are, it's $40 million for a proton beam therapy machine, and it's $250 million, I think, for a cyclotron, which is the current proton beam therapy treatment system that's actually out there in the marketplace.
Do you know what? Unbelievably, I mean, you know, obviously, look, everyone should do their own research, look at the fundamentals. But I mean, on a charting perspective, hugely oversold here, you know, down at 47 pence or whatever. Because this time, the start of the year, they were £2 a share, and now they're just below 50 pence. So you got to think, what's happening here? And I think any company like that is worth looking at and going through the previous RNSs, looking at what's coming up, what's happening. Because, like I said, when you get a company like this super oversold, you know, sometimes they can bounce aggressively, you know. But do your own research, everyone, you know.
Do your own research indeed,
Exactly. Marvellous. It's AVO Advanced Oncotherapy. Cheers, Al.
Thanks, Jas. All the best.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.